Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to fellowship on the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as we look into your word now, and every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear, we believe and receive the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in all of this house. We thank you, Father, we give you praise, for we know it's done, for in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. You can take your seat. Hallelujah. Okay, please turn your Bible quickly to John chapter 1, verse 47. John chapter 1, I read from verse 47 of that same chapter. It says, Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, How do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Underline that. When you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Now observe Nathanael's reaction in verse 49. He acknowledges the deity and kingship of Christ. Now this is different from his initial reaction when Philip told him about Jesus. Verses 45 to 46 of that same chapter, it says, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, We found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Underline that, from Cain to Nazareth. Philip said to him, Come and see. So Nathanael had changed in verse 49. Now, what made Nathanael react this way? Nathanael understood that statement in verse 48. When you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Now, the ancient Jews used to go under fig trees in their gardens for devotion, okay, to pray and to meditate on the Torah, the scriptures. 1 Kings 4, verse 25. 1 Kings 4, verse 25. And Judah and Israel dwell safely, each man under, underline that, each man under his vine and his fig tree, underline that, his fig tree. From Dan as far as Bathsheba, all the days of Solomon. Micah 4 verse 4, similarly there. Micah 4 4. But everyone shall sit, underline that, everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, underline that, under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. Devotion was very private, okay, and was to be done in the home, a secluded area. And that is why Jesus condemned the Pharisees for praying openly on the streets. Matthew chapter 6 verse 5, it says, And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. Underline that, like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the street, that they may be seen by men. Underline that, from on to men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room. Underline that. Go into your room. And when you shut your door, underline that, shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. Underline that, from all the place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Now, there is nothing wrong in praying openly, okay, publicly. The issue here was with their motive. They did so hypocritically to be seen by others. You see that in verse 5. So, times of devotion in ancient Israel were supposed to be done privately, in secret, right? No one sees you but God. But here, Jesus tells Nathanael, I saw you. Are you following that? So, what does that mean? If only God sees devotion, that means that Jesus is God. Do you follow that? So, in his omniscience, he knew exactly where Nathanael was and what he was doing. So, that was the reason for Nathanael's reaction. Okay, so Jesus sees Nathanael while he's carrying out his daily devotion. So God sees us during times of our devotion. That's what Jesus is saying here. So never feel alone. Amen. God is right there. So today we want to begin a study on devotion. Hallelujah. Okay, devotion. What it is, its importance, and how it is done. Now, devotion is very key. You see that man was the last thing that God made. Before God made man, every other thing was already created. Genesis chapter 1 verse 27. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. Then God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, underline that, fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, underline that, birds of the air, and over every living thing, underline that, over every living thing that moves on the earth. So these things were already made. And God said, see, I have given you every herb, underline that, every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree, underline that, every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. So these things already existed, and it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, underline that, everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now this in itself is a parable. Man is not created to give God anything. Rather, God made everything and gave it to man. So, why then is man created? Simple. God made man for fellowship. To have someone like himself to communicate with. Okay, so we can give God nothing but our time and devotion. Now, let's see importance of devotion. A subheading for you. Importance of devotion. Number one, Christ demands devotion. Now, Jesus is God that took on flesh. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Underline that, the Word was God. Verse 14 of that same chapter. And the Word, who is God, became flesh. Underline that, became flesh. That is Jesus. And dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. 1 Timothy 3:16. 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Underline that. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. So Jesus is that God who desires a relationship with man in the flesh. Do you follow that? Now, Jesus is several things to the Christian. First of all, Jesus is our Savior. Matthew 1:21. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Underline that, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Underline that, he will save his people from their sins. Jesus means God is Savior. Luke 2:11. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior. Underline that, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save, underline that, to save, that which was lost. 1 Timothy 1:15. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Titus 2:13. Titus 2:13. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Underline that, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 John 4:14. 1 John 4:14. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Underline from the to world. Also, he is our Redeemer. Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption. Underline that, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us. Underline that, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Galatians 4:4-5. Galatians 4:4-5. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem, underline that, to redeem, those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Titus 2:14. Titus 2:14. who gave himself for us that he might redeem us, underline that, from that to us, from every lawless deed, and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works, is our ransom. Mark 10 verse 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Underline that, a ransom for many. 1 Timothy 2:5-6. It says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. Underline that, a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. 1 Peter 1:18-19. 1 Peter 1:18-19. Knowing that you were not redeemed, underline redeemed, with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, underline that, from which to Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Revelation 5:9. Revelation 5:9. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seal, for you were slain and have redeemed us, underline that, have redeemed us to God by your blood, underline that, by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Jesus is the sacrifice for our sins. Now the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sins. Hebrews 10:1. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshippers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible, underline that, not possible, that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. But the blood of Christ effectively deals with the sin problem. Verse 10 of that same chapter. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once. Hallelujah. Underline once. Verse 14 of that same chapter. For by one offering, verse 14, he is perfected forever. Underline that. Perfected forever, those who are being sanctified. Not only that, he is the groom to his church. Ephesians 5:22-23. Ephesians 5:22-23. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. Underline that, from us to church, and he is the savior of the body. So he plays a similar role that husbands play to their wives. Verses 25-27 of that same chapter. Husbands, love your wife just as, underline that, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. 2 Corinthians 11:12. 2 Corinthians 11:12. For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, underline that, from I to husband, that I might present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. So Jesus is all these things to his church. His savior, his redeemer, his ransom, his groom, but he is also Lord. Okay? Jesus is Lord. In more than 92 different instances, the New Testament refers to Jesus as Lord. Acts 2:36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. Underline that. Both Lord and Christ. Underline, God has made this Jesus also. Acts 10:36. Acts 10:36. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, is Lord of all. Underline that, is Lord of all. And the Greek word kurios is used. K-U-R-I-O-S, which means master. Now the kurios in ancient times had absolute rights over his doulos, D-O-U-L-O-U-S, his servants. So the master is the kurios, you follow that? The servant is the doulos, okay? Now the kurios gave the doulos orders, which they had to obey. So Jesus is our Lord and Master, do you follow that? So we are the doulos. Now as our master, the kurios, it is expected that he should control our lives. Okay, he's our kurios, our Lord. Now the servants of the couriers, the delivers in ancient times, would appear before him in the morning to get orders from him, okay, to receive directions for the day. Now this is why the epistles urge servants to obey their masters, taking that ancient custom. Ephesians 6:5-8, it says, bond servants, be obedient, underline that, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleases, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. 1 Peter 2:18, similarly there. 1 Peter 2:18, servants, be submissive to your masters, underline that, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. So it was common for servants to come before their lords in ancient times and find out their task for the day. Now this is what we do in devotion. Do you follow that? We as the delus come before the couriers, the Lord. We pray, meditate, and receive direction for the day. And this is why devotion is to be done daily and usually at the start of the day. Christ as our Lord, our Kurios, demands that we know what it requires for the day. Do you follow that? So Christ demands devotion. Now number two here, devotion helps us to grow spiritually. Now the word of God which we meditate upon during devotion grows us. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Underline from that to thereby. The word builds us up spiritually. Acts 20:32. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. Underline that. Which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. The word of God transforms us and makes us complete. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17 of that same chapter, that the man of God may be complete, underline that, complete. Artios in the Greek, A-R-T-I-O-S, the O accentuated, which means fit, ready because prepared, prepared to function, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So as we study the word, we know what to do. There is guidance in the written word. Observe what God told Joshua, Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law, now that is God's word to him, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it night and day. And the line from you tonight, okay, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous. On the line that from you to prosperous, and then you will have good success. Underline that, from then to success. The first psalm calls the man blessed who meditates on scripture. Psalm 103. Blessed is the man, underline that, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Underline that, from east to Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Underline from in to night. It shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also do not wither, and whatever it does shall prosper. When we acknowledge God, he directs our paths. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. On the line from lean to understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him. On the line that, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. On the line from he to paths. Now, in devotion, we acknowledge him. Okay? In devotion, we also pray to God. Prayer has a growing effect on the Christian. Jude 1:20, and you, beloved, building yourselves up, underline that, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, underline that, praying in the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, underline that, edifies himself or builds himself up. So in prayer, you get better. When you spend time with the Lord, either in prayer or Bible study, you come out looking more and more like him. Look at how Acts 4 explains this. Okay, I want you to see this. Please turn your Bible there. Now, the disciples of Jesus were arrested and brought before the Jewish council. Okay, and observe what happened. The Jewish council observed their boldness. Verse 13 of that same chapter, Acts chapter 4. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Underline that. They realized that they had been with Jesus. So from how they spoke, they noticed that they had been around Jesus. Jesus too spoke boldly towards the Pharisees on countless occasions. See Matthew 12:38-42, Matthew 16:1-4, Matthew 22:15-22, and Matthew 23. He oftentimes rebuked their hypocrisy. Now the disciples had been around Jesus for 3.5 years, and the same stuff on Jesus rubbed off on them. Okay, so being around Jesus has that effect on us. Do you see that? It changes us. So the Pharisees could tell upon seeing the disciples that they had been around Jesus. They resembled him in how they spoke and in how they acted. So they were transformed. Pastor Joseph Prince gives an illustration here. I give an example of an incident that happened to him, how that he entered the same elevator with a woman wearing strong perfume, right? And then after leaving the elevator, he began smelling like her upon getting home. Now you know that's trouble, right? His wife asks, why are you smelling like woman's perfume? Do you follow that? Okay, so basically, being in the presence of persons rubs off on us. Do you follow that now? Okay, now same with Jesus. Hallelujah. Paul says that as we behold him, we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. Now that refers to our personal lives. We become as he is. Okay, we get better and better in our Christian walk the more we fix our gaze upon him. Okay, so we are changed, we are transformed. Okay, now some will say, okay, Pastor, if being in the presence of Jesus will transform me, where can I find Jesus today? Right? I also want the same transformation. Okay, where do I find Jesus? Now, we don't see Jesus physically anymore today, right? But we can have what his disciples had in devotion. Okay? In prayer and meditating on his word. Remember what he told Nathaniel. He is there in our devotion. Okay, in devotion, we enjoy Christ's presence. Now, this is not the indwelling presence which every Christian has, but a manifested presence whereby we are conscious that the Lord is there. He speaks to us through his word and we respond back in prayer. So, the same way that the disciples were better after being in Jesus' presence, so devotion leaves us in a better state spiritually. Okay, we are in the presence of Jesus actively, consciously, in devotion. So devotion, or quiet time as it's popularly called, is to do three things. Number one, to communicate with the Lord. Number two, to receive direction from him. Remember, it's kurios, we are the loops. Number three, to grow up spiritually, to get better in the faith. We become more and more like him, being conformed to his very image in our lives. Now next obedient here, the habit of waking up to wait on the Lord. Now, devotion or quiet time, by definition, implies waking up deliberately in the morning to wait on the Lord. Now, the Bible is full of examples of people who woke up early in the morning to wait on the Lord. Now, let's see a few of them. So, bullet points here, beginning with Abraham. Now, Abraham prayed for Sodom 6 times. Genesis chapter 18, 16-33. Then he woke up at daybreak and went to where he had prayed again. Genesis 19 verse 27. Genesis 19 verse 27. And Abraham went early in the morning, underline that, early in the morning, to the place where he had stood before the Lord. Jacob prayed to God early in the morning. Genesis 28 verse 18. Genesis 28 verse 18. Then Jacob rose early in the morning, underline that, early in the morning, and took the stone that he had put at his head, set it as a pillar, and poured oil on the top of it, and he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city had been Luz previously. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone which I have set up as a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that you give me I will surely give a tenth to you. Next, Moses. God would usually send Moses with his message to Pharaoh in the mornings. Exodus chapter 7 verse 15. Exodus 7 verse 15. Go to Pharaoh in the morning, underline that in the morning, where it goes out to the water, and shall stand by the river's bank to meet him, and the rod which was turned to a serpent he shall take in your hand. Exodus 8 verse 20. Similarly there. Exodus 8:20. And the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning, underline that, rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh as he comes out to the water. Then say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Exodus 9 verse 13. Then the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning, underline that, rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. So with Moses, we see that God gave him his message in the morning. Moses also had secret one-on-one meetings with God where they conversed together. Exodus 33 verse 11. Exodus 33 verse 11. So the Lord spoke to Moses. Underline that. The Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Underline that, as a man speaks to his friend, and he would return to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Also, it was in the mornings that God sent manna from heaven. Exodus chapter 16, verse 21. Exodus 16, verse 21. So they gathered it, that is manna, every morning. Underline that, every morning, every man according to his need. And when the sun became hot, it melted. Moses received the Ten Commandments in the morning. Exodus 19 verse 16. Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning, underline that, in the morning, that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. Exodus 34 to the 3. So be ready in the morning, underline that, in the morning, and come up in the morning, underline that, in the morning, to Mount Sinai, and present yourself to me there on the top of the mountain. And no man shall come up with you, and let no one be seen throughout all the mountain. Let neither flock nor herds feed before that mountain. In Numbers chapter 14, those who had sinned prayed and repented early in the morning. Numbers chapter 14 verse 39 to 40. Then Moses told these words to all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose early in the morning, underline that, early in the morning, and went up to the top of the mountain, saying, here we are, and we will go up to the place which the Lord has promised, for we have sinned. In Numbers 16, when Korah rebelled against divinely appointed leadership, God reveals his choice to his people in the morning. Numbers chapter 16, 1 to 4. Numbers 16, 1-4. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Pelad, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men of renown. They gathered together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, you take too much upon yourselves, for all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord? So when Moses heard it, he fell on his face, and he spoke to Korah and all his company, saying, tomorrow morning, underline that, tomorrow morning the Lord will show who he is and who is holy, and will cause him to come near him. That one whom he chooses, he will cause to come near him. So it appears that God reveals himself to his people in the early hours of the day. Have you seen that so far? Now also, the sacrifices of Israel began in the morning. Exodus 29 verse 38. Now this is what you shall offer on the altar. Two lambs of the year, day by day. Underline that, day by day, continually. One lamb you shall offer in the morning. Underline that, in the morning. And the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. Leviticus 6 verse 12. And the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning. Underline that, every morning. And lay the burnt offering on it in order. And it shall burn on it the fat of the peace offerings. Verse 20 of that same chapter, Leviticus 6. This is the offering of Aaron and his sons, which they shall offer to the Lord, beginning on the day when is appointed. 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour as a daily grain offering. Underline daily. half of it in the morning, underline that, in the morning, and half of it at night. Numbers 28:4-8. The one lamb you shall offer in the morning, underline that, in the morning, the other lamb you shall offer in the evening, and one tenth of an ephah of fine flour as a grain offering mixed with one fourth of an hin of pressed oil. It is a regular burnt offering which was ordained at Mount Sinai for a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. And his drink offering shall be one fourth of an hin for each lamb. In the holy place you shall pour out the drink to the Lord as an offering. The other lamb you shall offer in the evening as the morning grain offering, and his drink offering, and learn from us the offering, you shall offer it as an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. Ezekiel 46:13-15. Ezekiel 46:13-15. You shall daily make a burnt offering to the Lord of a lamb of the first year without blemish. You shall prepare it every morning, underline that, from you to morning, and you shall prepare a grain offering with it every morning, underline that, every morning, a sixth of an ephah and a third of an hin of oil to moisten the fine flour. This grain offering is a perpetual ordinance to be made regularly to the Lord. Thus they shall prepare the lamb, the grain offering, and the oil as a regular burnt offering every morning, underline that, every morning. Now the morning sacrifices were a means to consecrate the day. Okay, the day was holy because it began with worship. Now there's a principle in the Bible that if the root is holy, the whole plant is also holy. You find that principle in Romans 11:16. And the Jews understood that principle. That is, if a part of a thing is set apart to God, God will treat the whole thing as set apart to Him. Okay? So devotion is a way to sanctify the root. Do you follow that? A part of the day, so that the whole plant is also sanctified, the whole day. Do you get that principle? Okay, so it saturates the whole day, devotion, with the consciousness of God. Okay, we are aware of His presence throughout the day. You find that when Joshua and the children of Israel were going to conquer Jericho, they marched around the city in the morning. Exodus 6:15. Exodus 6:15. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day, underline that, the dawning of the day, and marched around the city seven times in the same manner. On that day only they marched around the city seven times. You see that King David would often speak in the Psalms of waking up to wait on the Lord. Okay, early in the morning. My voice you shall hear in the morning. Underline that, in the morning, O Lord. In the morning, underline that, in the morning, I will direct it to you and I will look up. Psalm 55:17. Psalm 55:17. Evening, underline evening, and morning, underline morning, and at noon, I will pray. Underline that, I will pray. And cry aloud, underline that, cry aloud, and it shall hear my voice. Underline that, it shall hear my voice. Psalm 57:7-8. Psalm 57:7-8. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. Awake my glory. Underline that. Awake my glory. Awake lute and harp. I will awaken the dawn. Underline that. I will awaken the dawn. Psalm 59:16. Psalm 59:16. But I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning. Underline that. In the morning, for you have been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Psalm 108:1-2. Psalm 108:1-2. O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Awake, lute and harp. I will awaken the dawn. Underline that. I will awaken the dawn. So his desire for the Lord caused him not to be able to sleep. Now King Ezekiah offered sacrifices to dedicate the land and himself together with his officials to the Lord in the morning. 2 Chronicles 29:20-21. 2 Chronicles 29:20-21. Then King Ezekiah rose early, underline that, rose early, gathered the rulers of the city, and went up to the house of the Lord. And they brought seven bulls, seven rams, seven lambs, and seven male goats for a sin offering for the kingdom, for the sanctuary, and for Judah. Then he commanded the priests, the sons of Aaron, to offer them on the altar of the Lord. Now it was said of Job that he would arise early to offer for his sons. Job 1:5. So it was when the days of feasting had run their course that Job would set and sanctify them, and he would rise early in the morning, underline from E to morning, and offer burnt sacrifices according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and caused God in their hearts. Thus Job did regularly. Underline that. Thus Job did regularly. The ancient Jews, even in exile, carried out their devotion. You see that they had carried out devotion while they were in the promised land. The ancient Jews would usually recite what was known as the Shema, S-H-E-M-A. Now the Shema was a declaration of one God. Okay, you find that Deuteronomy 6:4-9. Deuteronomy 6:4-9. It says here, O Shema, O Israel. Okay, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Is that the morning? Okay, underline that. When you rise up, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Deuteronomy 11:13-21. Deuteronomy 11:13-21. And it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God, underline from 2 to God, and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, underline from serve to soul, then I will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil. And I will send grass in your fields for your livestock, that you may eat and be filled. Take heed to yourselves, let your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them, lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you, and he shut up the heavens, so that there be no rain, and the land yield no produce, and you perish quickly from the good land which the Lord has given you. Verse 18. Therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart, on the line from you to heart, and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Underline that, when you rise up. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and of your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, that the days of the heavens above the earth. Numbers 15:37-41. Numbers 15:37-41. Again, the Lord said to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel. Tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and to put a blue thread in the tassels of the corners. And you shall have the tassel, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that you may not follow the aloe tree to which your own heart and your own eyes are inclined, and that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy for our God. For I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. So the Shema was to be placed where it would be visible, on the forehead and on tassels of garments. The Shema was to be recited every morning and evening in ancient Israel. Okay, that is even done even today amongst the Jewish people. Deuteronomy 6:7. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, underline that, lie down, that is in the night, and when you rise up, underline that, when you rise up, that is in the morning. Deuteronomy 11:19. Deuteronomy 11:19. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, underline that, when you lie down, and when you rise up, underline that, when you rise up. So this was mandated of the Jewish people. Now the Jews continued with this even in exile. For example, Daniel continued to observe his devotion even in exile at Babylon. Daniel 6:10. Now he risked death even to do this. Daniel 6:10. But when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day. Underline that. three times that day. That is devotion, okay? And prayed, underline that prayed, and gave thanks, underline that gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days, underline that, from hours to days. So Daniel had been trained to wait upon the Lord, which he continued at Babylon. Do you follow that? The Jewish children were to be trained to carry out daily devotion. Okay, now moving into the New Testament. Okay, devotion in the New Testament. Now beginning with our Lord Jesus Christ. Now our Lord Jesus often arose in the early hours of the day to pray. Mark 1 verse 35. Mark 1 35. Now in the morning, underline that, in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, underline that, from risen to daylight, he went out, underline went out, and departed to a solitary place, underline from departed to place, and there he prayed, underline that, there he prayed. This is devotion. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, everyone is looking for you, underline that, everyone is looking for you. But he said to them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. And he was preaching, underline that, preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons, underline that, casting out demons. It is interesting that behind Jesus' great acts in ministry was morning devotion. Do you see that there? See what the writer of Hebrews says about him. Hebrews 5 verse 7. Hebrews 5 verse 7. It says, who, that is Jesus, in the days of his flesh, that is in his incarnation, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, underline that, prayers and supplications, with vehement cries and tears, underline that, vehement cries and tears, to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear. So he prayed. Luke 9 says of him that he was alone praying. Luke 9 verse 18. Luke 9 verse 18. And it happened as he was alone praying, underline that, he was alone praying, that his disciples joined him, and he asked them, saying, who do the crowds say that I am? So that seems to be his habit. So as Jesus carried out the Father's will on the earth, he was given to prayers, especially in the mornings. He prayed before every major event in his ministry. He prayed as he was baptized. Luke 3 verse 21. Luke chapter 3 verse 21, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized, and while he prayed, underline that, while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. He prayed before choosing the 12. Luke 6, 12 to 13. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray, underline from he to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God, underline from continued to God. And when it was day, underline that, when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, underline that, he chose 12, whom he named apostles. He prayed even after mighty miracles had been wrought by him. In Matthew chapter 14, after feeding 5,000 men miraculously, he retreated to pray. Matthew 14 verse 23. Matthew 14 verse 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. He prayed before raising Lazarus from the dead. John chapter 11 verse 41. John chapter 11 verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I say this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who died came out bound hand and foot with a grave cloth, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. He prayed before he died. Luke chapter 22, 39 to 46. Luke 22, 39 to 46. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, underline that, he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Underline that. He prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. Then he rose up from prayer. And when he came to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, "Why do you sleep? Rise and pray." Underline that. Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. So he prayed while others slept. Now the thing about Jesus is that he was a very busy man. Okay? Jesus was a very, very busy man. Observe how Luke described him. Luke 5, verse 15. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him. Underline from great to him of their infirmities. So Jesus was a highly sought after minister, but he would still make out time to withdraw and observe his quiet time. That is Jesus, our Lord. Verse 16 of that same chapter. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Do you see that? Sometimes Jesus would not have time to sleep and to eat. Mark 6 verse 31 as we close. Are you following this so far? Okay. Mark 6 verse 31. It says, "And he said to them, come aside by yourself to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not have time to eat." Underline that, okay? So Jesus and his disciples hadn't had time to eat in this particular story, yet the multitudes thronged them. Verse 33 of that same chapter. But the multitudes saw them departing, and many knew and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. Yet, after all of this, he ensured that he still had his devotion. Verse 46 of that same chapter. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Do you see that? So, he might not have had time to eat or to sleep, but you know what he always had time for is devotion. Do you see that? Jesus always made out time for devotion. That's our Lord. He is our example. Now observe the words used to describe Jesus' devotion. First of all, in the morning, a long while before daylight, Mark 1:35. Then also on a mountain or in a solitary place, Mark 6 verse 46. So we see from Jesus' devotion some key facts concerning devotion. Number one, devotion is done in the early hours of the day. Okay? And number two, devotion is private. Okay? In a solitary place. So you should have your prayer spot, okay, or your prayer room, or even your prayer mountain, okay, where it's just you and God fellowshipping together. Now the disciples of Jesus also learned this from him, the act of devotion. They arose early in the mornings to pray. Pentecost happened on the morning. Acts 2 verse 1 as we close. Acts 2 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, that's in the morning, underline that, fully come. They were all with one accord in one place. Verse 13 of that same chapter. Others mocking said, "They are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day." Underline that, the third hour of the day. Now that is 9 a.m. So they had gathered together early that morning, before 9 a.m. Okay? The disciples also prayed in the afternoons. Okay? Acts chapter 3 verse 1. Acts 3 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the 9 hour. And that is 3 p.m. Acts 10 verse 9. Similarly there. Acts 10 9. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the rooftop to pray about the 6th hour. Underline that, the 6th hour. That is 12 p.m. They prayed in the evenings. Acts chapter 12, 5 to 6. Acts 12, 5 to 6. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, underline that, that night, Peter was sleeping bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Verse 12 of that same chapter. So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where they were gathered together praying. Underline that. Where they were gathered together praying. Now, in the context of verse 6, they were praying when? At night. Okay? Acts chapter 16 records Paul and Silas praying and singing psalms at midnight. Acts 16 verse 25 as we close. Acts 16, verse 25. But at midnight, underline that, at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing psalms to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Now in the epistles, Paul would speak of praying night and day. 2 Timothy 1, verse 3. 2 Timothy 1, 3. I thank my God, O my soul, with a pure conscience, as my fathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day. Underline that, night and day. This shows appointed prayers of time set out for devotion. Devotion is not arbitrary. Whenever I wake up, I'll pray. No. In devotion, you set out time and stick to that time. Do you follow that? I will wake up at such and such time to pray and wait on the Lord. That is devotion. Now, in closing, let me read you some quotes from church fathers and authors on devotion. What church fathers and authors had to say on the subject of devotion. Now, first, E.M. Bounds. Okay? E.M. Bounds. B-O-U-N-D-S. 1835 to 1913. Now, it says, the men who have done the most for God in this world have been early on their knees. He who fritters away the early morning, its opportunity and freshness, in other pursuits than seeking God, will make poor headway seeking Him the rest of the day. If God is not first in your thoughts and efforts in the morning, He will be in the last place the remainder of the day. Behind this early rising and early praying is the ardent desire which presses us into this pursuit after God. Morning listlessness is the index to a listless heart. The heart which is behind in seeking God in the morning has lost its relish for God. David's heart was ardent after God. He hungered and thirsted after God, and so he sought God early before daylight. The bed and sleep could not chain his soul in his eagerness after God. Christ longed for communion with God, and so rising a great while before day, he would go out into the mountain to pray. The disciples, when fully awake and ashamed of their indulgence, would know where to find him. We might go through the list of men who have mightily impressed the world for God, and we would find them early after God. It says that in Power Through Prayer. Now, E.M. Bounds was said to have spent the last 19 years of his life at home, rising at 4 a.m. and praying till 7 a.m. Now next, Robert Murray McChenney, R-O-B-E-R-T-M-U-R-R-A-Y, M-C-C-H-E-Y-N-E, Robert Murray McChenney, 1813 to 1843. Now he says, I feel it is far better to begin the day with God, to see His first face, to get my soul near Him before it is near another. So he's encouraging communication with God first before any other person. That way you'll be full to dispense to others. Only those who are full of God can dispense Him to others. Next, Martin Luther, L-U-T-H-E-R, 1483 to 1546, the great reformer. Now he says this about devotion. If I fail to spend 2 hours in prayer each morning, the devil gets the victory throughout that day. You hear that? The devil gets the victory throughout that day. I have so much business I cannot get on without spending 3 hours daily in prayer. Martin Luther says that. Next, John Bunyan. Okay, B-U-N-Y-A-N, 1628 to 1688. He wrote that famous Pilgrim's Progress. Now he says this. He who runs from God in the morning will scarcely find Him the rest of the day. Now next here, Andrew Murray. This is another Andrew, okay? Andrew Murray, 1828 to 1917. Now it says, shut the world out. You hear that? Shut the world out. Withdraw from all worldly thoughts and occupations, and shut yourself in alone with God, and pray to Him in secret. Let this be your chief object in prayer, to realize the presence of your Heavenly Father. So, this man understood the power of a devotional life. So, if you would amount to anything for God, you must take this spiritual discipline seriously. You must be one who is diligent in devotion. Did you learn? Lift your hands, give Him praise. Thank Him. We pick up from here.